And now, a cheeky Life to Labyrinth bonus episode.
Well, that's good news. I don't know if I was going to, I want to send you something as like a baby thing, but
oh,
I don't
my
know
God,
if I have
you
your mailing address.
Yeah, I can you get don't. That for you, Bryn.
All right. I thought you might be able to.
And you don't need to send anything.
I'm well aware, but I'm sure if I had a child, you'd send me something. So
she owes you three gifts.
I was going to say I didn't, and you have several.
I promise you I've birthed zero children. I've had front row seats to three bloodbaths, but
I... Oh, God.
Well, pretty.
Well, I definitely didn't send you anything.
No, I don't care. That's fine. I don't know. We weren't really, you know, when Liam was born, nobody really knew how to approach me about it. And
sure,
when
that
my
was
other kids
complicated.
Were born, yeah, and when my other kids were born, you know, you and I weren't really in communication at that time. So why would you have sent me anything?
Yes, you were in Alberta. Like, you've fallen off the face of the planet.
We had that conversation before I left where you're like, why, Bryn, do you know how conservative Alberta is? Why?
Don't do it, man. Just don't do it.
Too late. Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm just pretty sure that I read that Jason Momoa is single, so my head's not in the game right now.
Okay. What?
He posted on his Instagram, you know when you're just flipping and you see something that was posted like 1 minute ago and you realize you're the first person on the planet to know this information?
Yes.
And then you immediately Google it and it's nowhere and you just realize you're the first person on the planet to realize Jason Momoa is getting a divorce.
From Lisa?
Yes. Well, that's what it looks like. It has not been like picked up or confirmed, but he said, you know, basically the pandemic, like with everyone, has changed our family and we've decided to separate our marriage. And I was just like, I'm the first person to know.
You have a screenshot of that and sell it.
I ran downstairs and Alex totally ignored me. I was like, oh my God, emergency.
You two figure that out. I'm just quickly Googling Jason Momoa pregnancy fetish.
Oh, yes.
See if this is going to work out for you.
Oh, wow. They've been together for a long time. I guess that's what COVID does.
So far, no result. Top result, Angie. Jason Momoa Pinterest.
Oh, interesting.
Five minutes ago, people just confirmed Jason Momoa announced their separation in a joint statement on his Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
They are parting ways in marriage. I saw it first, everyone. Stampsies.
Yep.
You win the race.
Woo! And I just didn't know like who to send it to, and I was just like running around and being like, this is an emergency. I don't know if anyone else likes him. I don't know who to send it to, but I saw it first.
I liked them as a couple, though. They were cool.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, she's so cool.
Too cool. Like, you knew that he was going to get famous, and she'd be like, okay, too much.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have a TV. That's how cool she is.
She's so cool.
God.
And her daughter's also cool.
Yes, totally.
Man.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh.
I figured it out from context, but I have no knowledge of who this person is.
Lisa Bonet?
Lisa Bonet?
Yeah, from The Cosby Show. She's also in High Fidelity.
She was married to Lenny Kravitz.
Again,
she's beautiful and super cool.
I understand all of those words. I just have no personal connection to anything.
I just thought you were Googling it. That's why we were giving the Google hints in the world.
I have Googled it. Her Wikipedia's top result. People also ask, how long have Lisa and Jason been together? Oof. That's almost as poor timing as the Betty White People magazine.
I know. R.I.P.
Oh, boy.
Yes. This is not going well, guys.
Well, should we get back into the hot mess of an album that I suggested we listen
to? Oh, my
God.
You're on a fucking roll, Bryn.
Like, yeah, you're killing it.
Honest to gosh.
So, with that said, welcome to another episode of Life to Labyrinth podcast. My name is Bryn.
I'm Angie.
My name is Emily.
Hot damn. And we have been listening, whether a good thing or not. We'll find out as the hour goes by. Feel the Steel by Steel Panther. And I'd just like to say, for the record, I texted both of you to apologize for the lyrical content, because I had absolutely no idea I'd chosen the literal most misogynistic album that's ever been released. I understand that it's supposed to be funny, but I was like, no, don't, no. So, that said, how did it go for you two ladies?
Like, it was also 2009 misogyny, which is just like unshackled garbage.
Pre-Me Too misogyny.
It's pre any awareness of anything. It's so like outside of the borders of acceptable whatever. I mean, there don't get me wrong. Like, I started listening and I'm like, is it supposed to be like Tenacious D, Spinal Tap, or is this seriously being like a Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue type thing? So I was relieved to read that they're a comedy act.
Yes.
Which, step number one, I was like, well, thank God. But yeah, I feel like this is the first time on this podcast I've ever like felt like I was being a little offended.
I'm just saying something, because we listened to what's her name? Duck Duck Goose Woman.
Sure. No, not offended by that. I mean, that blew my fucking mind. There were some things where I was like, whoa, that is outrageous. But yeah, there were a few songs. I mean, most of the songs I listened to for a bit and was like, got it. Got the gist of this. But yeah, like Asian hooker, unnecessary. Fat girl, nothing. Not necessary.
You want to just run down the track list? Just
I have all the notes on every song.
Perfect. Take us down the list real quick.
Maybe I think so.
Favorite lyrics?
Yes, personally, Community Property was the best.
Yeah.
My cop is Community Property. I think that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I feel like if they had stuck to like internal self-deprecating humor, which is really almost the safest humor these days. It would have been like, I would have listened to them all and been like, yeah, making fun of yourself. But then it was like, oh, okay.
What's that?
A bit much on some of the parts, but like, I laughed so hard in Community Property. My dick's a free spirit. Like, it was great. I wish I'd listened to, maybe their newer stuff is better. Like, maybe their newer stuff is more self-deprecating. But I did not take the time. Anyway, so my thoughts were, wow, Bryn, wow. And then just, if this album had been released this year, it would have been canceled and these people would have not exist on this earth. But some of it was super funny. There. It made me want to watch Spinal Tap for some like seriously good music, hysterical comedy.
Yeah, it reminded me of like... a seriously like rated R version of the Dan Band, you know, the band that plays in I think it's Old School. They're playing at the wedding.
No.
You recognize the guy if you googled it, and he sings covers and he just adds a couple like fucks and whatever's but yeah, I also had to google. I was like, this has to be like a comedy thing. And then after that, I like settled in and I was like, okay, like they've done a very good job of like being that glam rock, glam metal, whatever. Like they have the persona and everything. The lyrics are hilarious, but it's just like, it would never fly these days.
No.
I mean, I'm sure it didn't really fly then if you like really listen to it, but I mean, you have to have a sense of humor.
They're also still making music, though. Like, I thought, you know, this would be something that, you know, was big in 2009. And then by 2015, they'd retreated to a hole because they'd been like, no more of that. But they just released another album, didn't they?
Like, they're currently on
they
tour.
They have a couple, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, woo! Committing.
Yeah, their most recent album, I think, was 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... keep going. Okay.
I mean, it is humor. It's dirty humor, but I mean, I guess there's a place for it. I had no idea. So to give
funny.
You guys some backstory, I had only seen YouTube clips of these guys. And the first YouTube clip I saw was them performing with like a 9-year-old who was playing Eddie Van Halen's Eruption and then did You Really Got Me with them. And then I saw them play covers with Mike Starr of Alice in Chains. They played like Man in the Box. Everything that I saw them doing was covering another band like largely 80s
right
music, or they're playing with very obviously shit-faced rock stars. Like they played with Sully from Godsmack. I think he sang Man in the Box with them.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, you could tell that they were just in clubs and like these dudes were just fucking destroyed. But they're just like, come up on stage and jam with us. And they're like, yeah. So when I was like, they seem like, and I knew that they were supposed to be like funny. They were supposed to be like a play on Motley Crue to the point where Motley Crue, Nikki Sixx especially, doesn't like them on principle.
First of all, Nikki Sixx is a dork. And Motley Crue makes fun of themselves. If anyone has watched that documentary, they do a good job of being gross all by themselves. They don't need to have anyone making fun of them. They made fun of themselves.
Which is maybe why he feels badly about it. But yes, apparently Nikki Sixx feels fairly attacked. And he's just like, fuck those guys.
Nikki Sixx has a radio station and he is literally like a dork. And he's like, you know, overdosed and like a rock star. And you listen to him and you're like, dude, get lame.
The most recent Nikki Sixx content I think I consumed was when he was dating Kat Von D. Which was years ago. So imagine my surprise when I put this on. It's in the car to be like, because I was also like, oh, we haven't done any metal stuff. I know Angie likes metal. And I was like, I'm going to pick something fun because most of the time I pick like depressing indie rock.
I mean, not the last few ones, but.
Not the last. but I was like, this will be fun. We haven't done a metal record yet. This is supposed to be funny. And like, I knew we were taking a break because full disclosure, although this will probably not be out for months. We listened to this over the Christmas break. So,
very festive.
So I was like, we're going to have a break. It'll be a couple weeks, whatever. It'll be something fun. And then I put on Death to All But Metal. And I was just like, oh, I owe them an apology.
You apologized immediately. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I was driving. I was like pulled over.
My God.
Emergency.
This does not reflect my feelings on women.
That is so funny. This was the week that I was reading on my little baby app that they're like, your baby's going to remember songs. And I was like, oh, man.
Delete.
I'm like, this is the worst. I like just listened to Asian Hooker. And I'm already nervous that I've, you know, just watched The Sopranos and Sons of Anarchy. And I'm trying to watch Dexter. And I'm like, he's hearing so many bad things. But this was the first album where I was like, I might need to put on headphones because I feel like my belly can hear this.
That's so funny.
I'll add to that and say that I have no reaction from my daughters from this. This did not feature in any of our car rides. This was...
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions.
Me by myself.
A lot of questions you don't want to have to answer.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
But musically, like, they wail. Like, he's got a great voice. They're a great band. I think they'd be super fun to see live. I don't know. The only two songs that I just was like, I rolled so hard I couldn't listen to was like Asian Hooker and Fat Girl. I was just like, I can't do it. It's whatever. But this stripper one also, like, I don't love a guy screaming about a fucking whore, but I laughed so hard at every Coke reference.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, do a ninja line of coke. I'm like, so funny. It's just, I don't know. I don't know why because I'm never like sensitive to any of that, but I just feel like, oh, this fucking.
It did get a bit much listening to all of it.
Yes, for sure. Yes.
One or two songs, you're just like, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hilarity. And then by like song four, I get to Fat Girl. It's just like, do you have to talk about jizz again? I should have kept a tally of how many different words for jizz they had.
They're very, very talented wordsmiths. Very talented. Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity for me.
we could have made it a drinking game next time.
If you want a drinking game with this, drink every time he discusses jizz.
Yeah, or
semen, poke or baby gravy. Cock.
Like, yeah. Poke cock jizz drink.
I also enjoyed how often, maybe that's you talking about the self-deprecating stuff, he kept talking about how he very obviously had VD.
Yeah.
You'll be screaming my name while you pee.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a lot of it is really hilarious, totally.
Yeah, I was going to try and, like, pull out my favorite lyrics, but it was just, like, there's something from every song that's just hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's bad. Like, I don't know if I can even say it.
Why not? We're an explicit podcast.
And I know.
I was like, but my mom might listen. Angie's mom is listening.
My mom has to deal with my fucking mouth on a daily basis. Like, every time she talks to me, I swear, it's not like, I don't even think she notices anymore.
But I mean, like, very poetic. Like, I'm in South Korea, broke out with gonorrhea. Like, very, very nice. Yeah.
I wouldn't have made that rhyme.
I would never. No. I'm not in that headspace.
So sunny.
We'll just dial it back. We'll take it back a little bit and give a little bit of the Wikipedia history on the band. So they're called Steel Panther, but they've also been known as Metal Shop, Danger Kitty, and Metal School, S-K-O-O-L, which is, I believe, how they spelt it in Invader Zim.
Danger Kitty reminds me of FUBAR. or whatever.
Oh.
Excellent.
Yeah, they've been active since the year 2000, which unfortunately is 22 years.
What?
Just bring you right to your knees. And they are considered an American comedy rock band from Los Angeles, mostly known for their profane and humorous lyrics, as well as exaggerated onstage pastiche of a stereotypical glam metal lifestyle. They feature, well, there are three members on Wikipedia and two past members. So maybe I'm not sure if their new bass player is maybe not an official member, but anyway, features Michael Starr, Satchel, and Styx Zedinia. And then past members are Ray Luzier and Lexi Fox. Lexi Fox, I believe, is their recently departed bass player. Satchel being guitar player, Michael Starr being rocking the vocals. He does that whole David Lee Roth thing where he's just like, ah!
He can wail, like, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe why this band has been so successful.
If you
pull the lyrics out and remove the fact that it's hilarious and sort of offensive and just awful, the songs are great and they're incredible musicians.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I was like, all these songs are so catchy. I hate it.
Yeah.
I was like,
super catchy. Like,
cheating. I was like, I'm in Home Depot.
That's so funny.
I can't be humming this.
Cock is community problem. I know. I mean, yeah, you're right. The lyrics are good. The music is good. He can wail. You're like, this is so fun. There's just a few times where you're like, okay, enough, buddy. But yep. I can also see why they've been around for so long, because they're good at what they do. But it's funny. I was just looking it up and looking up Steel Panther, and the first thing that came up is Steel Panther canceled? And I was like, oh, they've been like canceled off the face of the earth, but it was talking about an upcoming show, which has been canceled. But I wondered if they were like, nope, we're done. Can't say it anymore.
Apparently according to their Wikipedia page, under criticism, which is usually a fun place to go on a Wikipedia page, first one they talk about is a band faced criticism for a signature guitar tone created in partnership with TC Electronic named Pussy Melter, which was characterized as sexist by critics.
I found their criticism area of Wikipedia shockingly light and not what I thought it was going to be about.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Yeah.
The band have also been accused of racism and misogyny, particularly after the Me Too movement. Called it. One-star NME review for Heavy Metal Rules describes Steel Panther as incel rock.
What?
I don't know.
That doesn't even make sense.
I don't get that.
Can't get laid.
Yeah.
I don't put that together at all.
No. So they got one sentence on being misogynistic. That's fair, you know. These days.
Fair.
So fair.
But I did laugh, yeah, that most of that was about a guitar tone. Okay. I mean, that just goes to show you how much people care about women. You know, exactly. There is a tone in there, and
hey, this really awesome guitar pedal has a name that I don't want to put on. I don't want to be associated with.
It's like, boy.
Dude, it's made by guys that sing two in the pink and one yeah. in the stink.
Yeah, the Shocker.
That's called the Shocker.
Also, which sounded like the most, you know, I was picturing me listening to this in grade 8 and being like, oh, this is so wild, you know? And like, why do I have adults explaining to me what the Shocker is? I think everyone knows that. But it just totally felt like children would love this. I mean, like teenagers, you know?
Yeah.
This is the modern day Adam Sandler, they're all going to laugh at you record.
I don't know the record.
Oh, there is that. I remember as probably middle schooler, I borrowed that CD from a friend of mine. And I think the second to last track on it was like sex or working out. They'd be like, we're going to play you a clip. And I want you to tell me if these two people are having sex. Or working out.
Oh, my God.
And then they play this clip of very obvious people having sex. And they'd be like, oh, that sounds like two people having sex. No, that was two gentlemen doing a military press. They're having sex. All right, sir, that's your opinion. Clearly, this man is hearing people having sex who are just working out in a fitness center.
Every grade 8 boy is like, wee.
Yeah.
The fact that I haven't heard that since grade 8 and I remember that much of it should tell you the effect it had on
that's so
my
funny
emotional and mental upbringing. And
that's so funny.
It very well could have been the first time. It was probably earlier than grade 8. I think it was the first time I ever heard anyone, like adults, like pretending to have sex. It very obviously wasn't porn. It was like Adam Sandler's friends. They were just recording, like pretending to have sex. And I was like, oh. Because by 7th grade, I'd seen porn.
Yeah, because we got the internet.
Well, no. I don't know if my parents still listen, but my dad used to hide video cassettes in his sock drawer.
Amazing.
Yeah, I found magazines. And,
I used to have to remember when I started it, where it was in the video. Because it was never Be Kind Rewind. It was like, it was at this time,
oh,
I had to rewind
God.
It back to when he had left it off and hope that he didn't notice.
Oh, no.
And then I think they figured it out, and one day they were all just gone.
That's so
oh,
funny.
Oh, my God, that's funny. I remember the grand discovery of Bleu Nuit on the French channel at, like, a certain time and being like, this is on my TV.
Yeah.
Woo! It's, like, the most softcore garbage. I think if I watched it now, I'd be like...
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh!
Yeah,
and how did David Duchovny get roped into that? I will never understand.
I don't know. I don't
know.
God,
what's he doing there?
We had satellite and we had like the movie channel. And so you'd watch a movie and then fall asleep and like wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to some like softcore shit. And you're like, oh my God, mom and dad are upstairs. Oh my God, turn it off. Oh God.
Emergency.
And it was always like the same thing. And like without fail, you'd wake up to it and be like, oh no.
We're so lucky that our parents didn't have cameras and like phones that they kept with them all the time.
Not kidding. There'd
be so many pictures of like, yeah, people like yourself just totally like passed out asleep with Bleu Nuit on the television. And they'd just be like, click.
Oh, sorry. It's Red Shoe Diaries. Isn't that David Duchovny was part
That's
of?
That's David Duchovny. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, both of them.
It's
great
all the same.
Great discoveries.
Yeah.
But we didn't have like country cable. If you fell asleep, you woke up to like infomercials or a blank screen. There's nothing there's nothing good that you woke up to.
Yeah,
we're like, this is terrible.
It was only until we got satellite where there's a whole new world waiting for me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
For me.
Ooh.
Remember when I got a bit older, I would stay up and watch South Park, and I think Bleu Nuit came on after South Park.
That's funny.
South Park was on at like midnight or something in those
days.
Yeah.
It was on really late at night.
I never watched
pretty sure it's a bit of a hazy memory, which you should be able to relate to, Angie.
Yeah, so, every memory.
Yeah, I seem to recall Bleu Nuit came on after South Park, but I could be wrong.
So like how big do you think this band is? Like are they doing stadiums or are they doing, I know you said clubs, but like to me this borderlines like country fair.
They seem to do a lot of festivals.
Okay.
I think they're definitely on the festival circuit.
Like a 2 p.m. slot.
Yeah.
I suspect, yeah, they probably do a lot of clubs, and they're on tour. We can see what venues they're booked
into. Well, the next show
is
canceled. I can confirm that.
They're on tour in Europe right now.
Oh, bizarre.
So this is like Ship Rock 22, Nova Rock 22. These would probably be festivals.
Wow, this doesn't feel like Euro music. I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's difficult to know because, yeah, I think a lot of these...
Oh, casinos. They're playing at casinos.
Okay.
That's 2020. I don't know what year it is. But they were playing in casinos. So that...
I can see that.
That adds up a little.
It's like those Pink Floyd tribute bands.
Yeah.
Oh, they call their fans the Fanthers. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go to the Fanther store right now. Oh, you have to log in. Never mind.
Facebook login. Go fuck yourself.
No.
I'll just buy a bootleg t-shirt.
Yeah, totally.
You should get a Steel Panther t-shirt.
You should get a little onesie for Angie's
yes.
newborn.
Just truly set money on fire. And Angie a Steel
I
Panther
did buy a
onesie.
Metallica onesie. Anyways, yeah, they're playing at like Shiprock 220,002 in Texas, Nova Rock, Garage. These are all festivals.
Yeah.
I can see them as like a Vegas like novelty thing too for like a week.
Yeah.
I think probably the best place to see them is at a festival. That'd be fun. I don't know if I'd want to go to like a casino or like a small theater. And see them. I guess like a club full of like drunk rock stars from the 90s would be funny. I'd go to that.
Yeah, I think they'd be fun at a festival for sure. Like in between actual whatever.
But I think in one of our more recent episodes, I talked about watching Rig Rundown, which is something, in the Greta Van Fleet episode. There's a Rig Rundown of Satchel, which I did watch. These guys are interesting because when they're interviewed, they quite often stay in character, much like the Trailer Park Boys.
Okay. They just commit to the bit.
They just commit to the bit, which I appreciate. Considering they're like in their late 50s. And there's really no reason for them to commit to the bit. But
it's so funny.
Just amazing.
They're just being rock stars. Guns N' Roses have committed to the bit. And they're just doing their thing.
I read something that the lead singer provided background vocals for AFI on two of their albums. As an emo 13-year-old, that album, Sing the Sorrow by AFI, whew. There's a little connection there for those emo fans.
I can't hear AFI in my head at all.
Oh, it's whiny and excellent as a young teenager. Super emo.
Speaking of, I didn't really get into any of their other catalog, but now that you mention emo, I bet you they do have a song that discusses big titty goth girls.
I mean, I hope so.
They
you
don't.
Can't that's, leave people out.
That's right.
Rude.
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
They do have a song on their album Balls Out called It Won't Suck Itself.
Oh, my God.
Actually,
I did listen to one other song that was, oh, my God, give me a break. Keep talking while I find it. It was something like It Doesn't Masturbate Itself or I Want to Fuck Myself Tonight. I'll find it.
It reminded me also of, as I was listening to it, it reminded me of one of my favorite movies, Hot Tub Time Machine, which is a terrible movie, but it's excellent. And they used one of their songs in the sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine, and it was awesome. 17 Girls in a Row, also from the Balls Out album. I had to note that.
That's
these
hilarious.
Song titles are hilarious. Just going through their other catalog.
Yeah.
Poontang Boomerang.
Just like Tiger Woods. Okay.
Walk of Shame. Let's see. That's on the All You Can Eat album, I believe.
I want to do is fuck myself tonight.
Nice.
I do remember listening to that and being like,
Party Like Tomorrow is the End of the World. Bukkake Tears.
Oh my God.
Weenie Ride.
Fucking My Heart in the Ass.
Odds of Pussy.
You're Beautiful When You Don't Talk. She's on the Rag. Oh, I can't even imagine what the lyrics
are.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, gosh. There's some really bad bonus track titles on what is this? Balls Out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. I can't.
You don't want to say those words in that order?
No. No, it's number 16 of the Japanese bonus tracks. Oh. On Balls Out. It is just, oh, it's bad. Chad Kroeger.
Yeah, that's
as in or Kruger, whatever his last name. He's featured in one of the songs.
Yeah, he seems trashy like that.
Yeah, he's in It Won't Suck Itself. Makes sense.
Amazing.
Makes sense.
Chad Kroeger does seem like the kind of guy that tried, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's tried every other way to get in there, so.
The tone of your voice indicates some experience with him in that regard.
Oh, gosh. I know Angie's a huge Nickelback fan.
Well, Nickelback, so I will defend to the end. I think it's great.
I cannot.
You are way younger and way past the time where you would have been listening to Nickelback in, like, very, very early Nickelback. You would have totally missed that.
I know. And I listened to the Big Shiny Tunes episode, and it's really funny because you guys talked about 2 and 3, I think.
Yeah.
I was 4 and 5. That was my thing.
You would have totally missed Enemy of the State and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time Nickelback got big, we were done with them. It was like, and Scene. But I definitely had those albums and I love them and I saw them live and whatever. He's a total dork. Like, I think they remind me of like poster children for just Alberta grossness. I'm sorry. I apologize. Just kind of like redneck rock, whatever. But early stuff, I love it. Yeah. I will listen to it anytime.
Well, we're not talking about Nickelback, Angie. And that
we are now.
Too bad. No, it's too bad.
It's done.
Well, guess what? Guess what album we're doing next? No, I'm kidding.
No.
Silver Side Up.
Oh, ew.
It's too bad. It's too bad. It's too bad.
It's too bad. It's too bad. It's too low. Or whatever.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. There's a really slutty Nickelback song that's like, I love you when you're on your knees. I love when your pants are around your ankles or something like that. So I can see how they hooked up with these fucks.
Yeah. When I saw them live, they played that song.
Yeah.
And he introduced it as something to the effect of, I know how to get girls to scream. It was like, girls always scream when I say this. And he's like, I like your pants around your feet or whatever it is. And it's true. All these girls were like, including the one I was with.
Oh, probably me too. I loved that song when I was in high school. I was like, Dirty Bird.
I didn't recognize it when he played it.
He just has like ramen as hair, though. Like
ramen hair.
Yeah,
hair.
She has something exciting about him, but
remember when him and Avril were married?
Oh, man. Oh boy.
Yeah, poor Avril. Derek Whibley.
Oh, that's better Chad than Kruger. Chad.
Well, but she was married to him when he still looked like Derek Whibley as opposed to what he looks like now, which I understand is the result of near death.
Yes, he nearly died and he can't drink anymore. He nearly like drank himself to death.
And I'm not one to talk. We're all in our 30s now, except maybe Emily.
No, I'm there.
So, I get it. Not everyone has aged as well as Steel Panther.
Seriously.
Put it back.
It's the headbands and the eyeliner. That helps.
And the wigs.
Yeah.
But they're, I mean, like, not to bring it back to Motley Crue again, but if you watch that documentary, they were all, like, metalheads and they were all disgusting. They were just misogynistic shitbags, just doing a lot of drugs and being party frat boys. So, like, they're playing the part. They've accepted the role. They know they're committing to the bit.
Yep.
But definitely after watching that Motley Crue documentary, I was like, you guys are pieces of shit.
Yeah,
that's the problem with especially as we've learned and discussed on this podcast before. It's like sometimes when we're researching to have something to talk about, it's like, oh no.
I'm sorry, and I don't think it's a documentary. I think it's a movie.
Docudrama.
Yeah, I think people are like, suck my balls all night. Sorry, like, what's in my ear?
The one, the one on Netflix? Is that what you're talking about?
I think so. It's definitely not a documentary. It's like people acting.
You're talking about The Dirt?
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds familiar. Okay. I can't get through that. I can't stand them.
I was just watching like my face the whole time. Yeah. I was like, you gross.
Yeah.
I think it got some bad reviews about its accuracy when it came out, which usually puts me off of stuff like that, which again, that was my big problem with the Freddie Mercury movie. I was like, this is really well acted and everything's really great, except like the story is so distorted. Mm-hmm. And they've like chopped things apart just to serve the narrative that didn't happen in this order. And they've really like muted Freddie Mercury's personal life just for like movie ratings sake.
Right, right.
And I was like, it kind of just ruined it for me.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, they all did a great job. Anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about Steel Panther.
I was listening to Girl from Oklahoma. He's just sitting about sucking his balls all night. But is this the one where he's talking about like acne on her lady part? Anyways. Hot. I literally put notes beside every song. One of them is like,
right,
good scream. The next one is gross. Eating and cheating is, the note was, good Lord.
Yes.
Party all day, my note was Bon Jovi. Turn up lights was ugh. And then the stripper one was coke. Ha 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 ha.
It's funny that your note for turn up the lights was ugh, considering he's very obviously singing about someone he finds ugly.
They've mastered the power ballad, like Community Property and Stripper Girl. Like,
sure, for sure. Musically.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they've nailed it. Like I'm a power ballad gal, and they've done it. As much as I'm not a big glam rock or glam metal gal, love me a power ballad.
Yeah.
Like, I had to stop every three songs and listen to Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Needed some warrant or something.
I did learn, though, because I was like, what really is glam rock? Like, obviously, like, we know what it all is, but I didn't know that T-Rex was, like, a pioneer for that. I didn't know that he kind of, and, like, when you go back and listen to it, like, The Slider is just, like, one of the greatest albums, in my opinion.
I love T-Rex.
You can, like, you get it, and I'm like, okay. I see what you've done, T-Rex. This is why we have Steel Panther. Thank you.
And this is an offshoot into, like, weird glam metal, which is, like...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's all very interesting.
Because, like, glam was kind of about, like, expressing yourself and being different, but metal is kind of... can be... Well, this particular one is very trashy and judgmental.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
Glam metal is kind of interesting. And again, we don't need to get into it, but it's when you look at it and it's talking about like first wave, second wave, it's like, how is glam metal being categorized the same way as the feminist movement?
I was gonna say feminism. Yeah, glam. I don't know a lot about glam metal.
No, I still don't, but I was Googling around and I didn't know that about T-Rex, but it makes sense.
Like Twisted Sister, is that like glam metal? Yeah, I think so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses to a certain extent the beginning. And Warrant and who's the Every Rose Has Its Thorn. What band is that? Poison.
Oh, Poison. Gross.
Well, I would have never listened to that in the history of the world or come across that, so... Interesting suggestion. And I was like, is this your third one in a row where you haven't listened to the album first before pitching it? Where you're just like, what? Oh, okay.
Super risky.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the last one.
Because the last one I suggested that I hadn't listened to was Jacob Collier.
Yeah, Plunder Nails.
And I think the one before that was Prettiots, which I had listened to.
Okay.
So yeah, that's two now. You know, I'm bringing variety.
Yeah, for sure. Keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
From Jacob Collier 1 week to this, it's like, keep them guessing.
We'll never know. We never know.
I would say if you listen to our episode about Jacob Collier and listen to him and like him, I wouldn't necessarily say this is a natural progression.
No.
Hard to pull that together.
No. It's a variety show, though.
That's right.
That's what we're here for.
To expand our musical horizons and get out of our ruts. And let me tell you, I did not rut hardcore, disgusting lyric glam metal.
Nothing boring about this.
Comedy.
No.
I wish they had a movie. I wish they did a mockumentary. That would make me feel so happy if they hooked up with Christopher Guest and just Spinal Tapped it, but in a different way, in a different universe.
Rod Reiner comes back.
For sure.
Yeah.
40 years ago, I documented.
It's an opportunity lost.
It would be a fun mockumentary.
It would. That'd be great. I'd be here for it. That'd be a viewing party.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, do you have any Do you have any final thoughts? It feels like we're winding to that part of the conversation anyway.
Don't take anything too seriously if you're going to listen to it. Yeah, have a laugh. That's all.
Skip the stuff that's like too much and enjoy the stuff that's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need you to make fun of fat girl bodies. I'm not interested, but I love to hear about the antics your cock has been up to.
It's true.
And how it needs to be shared and how it's a free spirit. And in fact, it is community property. Some of it's super funny. Some of it's like maybe too much for people, but it's worth weeding out the ones that are just like going to make you laugh. Yeah. And if your fetus can hear it, maybe it's a headphone week. I don't know.
Not for young ears.
My partner just keeps being like, play great music. And so I'm like always careful about what music I'm playing. I'm like, yeah, end of this week. I'm like, oh my God.
Not so much.
Did he hear you listening to this?
No.
I often wonder, because you've talked about listening to the albums of and dancing in the kitchen as you're cooking and stuff. I'm just like, I wonder. Yeah. Start getting notes on your door from your neighbors. Stop playing this music. Yeah. My children are home.
Sure, everyone is old and retired here.
Well, I guess I don't really have many more final thoughts. As I feel like as a white man in the group, I shouldn't really express opinion.
Shut her down.
I stand by my apology, and I appreciate you both rising to the humor of it and expressing that. I'll point out that not only is it pre-Me Too, it's pre-Lizzo.
Yeah.
And maybe they wouldn't have released a song called Fat Girl after Lizzo came out, but maybe they would, because they don't seem to give one good goddamn.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's funny. If you're not prepared to laugh at it, don't listen to it. You'll just
hate
get your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And if you listen to it and you take it seriously and you're like, this is my jam, and
you're
I'm...
an incel. No, I'm
yeah.
then, I don't know, maybe read a book.
I was going to say the same thing.
That's so funny.
You know, well, we grew up in a small town. We know the people we're thinking of right now.
We do.
Once upon a time, they used to have fish hooks in their baseball hats.
Don't take it to heart, everyone. Don't let these be your life anthems.
No. Please, God,
don't. It's just humor. It's just funny. You don't have to find it funny, but it's supposed to be funny.
We're just having a good time.
Yeah, which is what glam metal's all about. That's what the 80s were about. Doing a shitload of coke and having a good time.
Yeah.
What was that Leonardo DiCaprio movie from the 80s where he's like the stockbroker?
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, this is if Wolf of Wall Street was a band.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Lots of quaaludes and such.
Yes.
Like, just such like a good time.
Kiss is if Michael Bay was a band.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. It's been great catching up. I missed you. Angie, keep us apprised at your status.
Done.
Oh, yes.
Ticking time bomb.
A couple more weeks,
She hasn't seemed to reach the point yet where she's just angry all the time. Just be like, why is this still my life?
What is happening?
It depends. Sometimes when we talk at work, but I think that's work.
Oh, for sure. I have like no patience for anything.
Oh,
doing that? That's a fucking great idea. That's fucking great. That's fucking stupidest thing I've ever fucking heard. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do it. Whose bright eye fucking idea was that? Let's do it.
More.
Which is what I'm like at the most. Like,
your mic's not muted. Well, I stand by it.
Just turns the camera off.
I had my team leader say, but tell us how you really feel. So I've been like, you know it's fucking stupid? Fucking that.
Oh, dear.
Amazing. All right, well, both of you, it's great catching up. Thanks for accepting my apology and
I'm
finding me
here. I'm pretty pumped about your next pick because you
I can't wait.
Now I may have started something I can't continue here. Like, what wild shit is he coming? I guess, you know, like I said, I was responsible for us listening to Cupcake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she meant that shit. These guys don't mean it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that because I definitely was... There were some shocking things there.
Yeah. Emily, have you listened to Cupcake yet?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, well. Oh.
There's a surprise waiting for you when you do.
Oh, there.
Ooh.
You pretty much just have to listen to Duck Duck Goose and you'll have the entire spectrum. That tells you all you need to know about Cupcake the artist.
Yeah. Good. Please enjoy that song with your face like this.
I'm going to Google this.
Got to do it. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on Duck Duck Goose in our next episode.
Yeah, your homework is.
Yeah, I'll be doing that.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's wrap this up for real so we don't
bring
too much editing work for me. So thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. If you're still here, we appreciate you. We love our fans,
thanks
listeners.
For listening, Mom. And Dad.
And Ben.
I don't think he listens.
Sometimes he likes the Instagram posts.
Oh, bless. I don't think he listens. Maybe.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
And we'll be back soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Life to Labyrinth podcast. Theme music by Devin Rose. Find Devin on Bandcamp or any streaming service. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Life2Labyrinth.